Hey, we're so excited that you're joining us here on Community Church Podcast, where our prayer is that you would find a better life with Jesus and a secure place in heaven. We hope this message encourages you, and if you want to find out more ways to connect, you can visit us at forabetterlife.org.
All together, Lord, I am ready to hear your word, to believe your word, and to leave your word. Because I've been chosen for victory and not for defeat, for health and not for sickness, come on, for prosperity and not for poverty, because I am more than a conqueror, come on, in Jesus' name and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Woo, come on, amen and amen. If you believe that, as you sit down in this place, give it up for him and over there at home as well. You know, we are excited that we are in a beautiful campaign we've called Revolution. We know that this world needs that. It is not any revolution. This world needs a love revolution that comes from the deepest in our heart. Remember, God wants community transformation, but that will never be real until we don't change our home. We need a home revolution, and your revolution will never get to home if it doesn't start at your heart. You and I need a revolution of our hearts, and God will use that, and we will change our community, we will change our country, and we will see Jesus do miracles in our midst. Amen? Amen. Good Lord. Amen? Amen? Come on, somebody must believe that today. Let's go. Last week, we started the series, and we spoke about God's love, and we'll touch that a little bit later, but I'm not sure if anybody ever has approached to you and has said to you, I don't care about you. That's rough, right? Like, I don't care about you. I know, it's you know. I don't know. Me, personally, nobody has said that to me. But, although they haven't said it like that, like so boldly, I don't care about you. But with their actions, they actually have said it, because our actions, most of the time, speak louder than our words. And I have felt that. I have felt myself rejected by people, not because what they said, but because what they done to me. And I don't know if that's your case. Maybe actually someone has said those words to you and they have hurt. Those words hurt. They do, because they put you in a position of pain. And, you know, as I was journeying in our relationship with Steph, we had kind of like several episodes. Anybody? Okay. And the first time I dated her, mind that I said the first time, okay? Because we dated two times. Repentance came to her. Okay. The first time we started dating, normal. We're friends and, you know, we like each other. She's, wow, you know, like, whew. You know, and I'm super attracted to her. I see a future with her. And you know, so we start talking. We start, you know, going out and here and there, interacting. But it got to a point that I wasn't feeling the way I thought I was going to feel in a relationship. Like, in other words, like, I felt that I wasn't getting what I wanted in a relationship. Now, little did I know that she was feeling exactly the same as I was feeling. So the breakout came. Done. Now she's my bride of almost 14 years today. That means that it worked out, okay? People are clapping. I'm not sure why, but come on, let's go. You know? Now, in the midst of this period of like the breakout, in this pause in our process, someone approached to me and recommended me to read a book. And this book was called The Five Love Languages by Dr. Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay. Amen. And the chat is going crazy. It's like, yeah, man, The Five Love Languages, I know, by Dr. Gary Chapman. And it really changed my life. By the way, if you are in a relationship right now and you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to read that, okay? It's going to change your life. And just a summary, but where he comes from and the whole book explains is that us human beings, we love, or we tend to love, the way we like to be loved. Can I say that to you guys? The whole book is very simple. you love the way you like to receive love. But the problem here is that you and I are completely different. So you don't receive love the same way I do. And here are the five love languages. You have them on screen. And you, I know you're going to get identified like this. You go like, that's me, you know. So when I received this information, okay, and I put it in my heart, everything started changing in my relationships. Because listen, if something I have learned about relationships and in my journey of relationships is that you and I need to learn to love well. I'll say that again to you. You and I need to learn how to love well. What are you saying, Pastor, that you can love wrong? Yes. You can love wrong. You can be with the person that you're supposed to be, but you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do, because love is not just words. Loves are actions, and you can do the wrong action. So what was happening with Steph and I in our first episode, okay, in the relationship, was that I was loving her like I like to be loved. In my case, right here, my first love language, by the way, there's a test. Read the book, buy it, and do the test. My one is physical touch, number one. Number two, it's physical touch. Number three is physical touch. How many are there? Five. All of mine are physical touch. So the way I would approach her, how do you think it was? Excuse me. Please, sir. It was all touchy-touchy. Like, I will, like, if we will, like, have a fight and we will get together, like, and we will mend the... I was all like, oh, babe, you know, I'm so, hold my hand, you know, hold my hand. But guess what? Correct. That is not Steph's love language. Actually, physical touch is her last love language. I gotta work, you know what I'm saying? I gotta put some work. Her love, someone saying amen. Her love language, the first one, is words of affirmation. Acts of service. Jeez, I'm gonna get in trouble. Acts of service. Got it on the notes. Acts of service, and the second one is gifts. And the way I was approaching her was all touchy, lovey, you know, mwah. And then she's like, where's my gift? You know what I'm saying? Now, you might say, oh, that's so selfish. No. That's where we get to. I'm not talking about an expensive gift. Actually, that's not even her first one, but she loves gifts. She does. I'm her gift. Okay, but the first one for her is acts of service. That means that the way she feels loved by me is not by me hugging her, okay, or paying attention to her all the time. Oh, she's gone. All the time. It's not that. It's for me to do the dishes. It's for me to do the bed, do bed. It's for me to clean the house when she's not asking me to clean the house. Woo! When I do that, it's like, it is glorious. I feel it's my birthday every day. Or Father's Day every day. God, she's like... She's all happy, right? And when I keep, the other day I bought her makeup. Why am I doing buying makeup, people? Come on, are you with? Yeah, but it's her love language. You know how she was happy. She was like, oh my God, babe, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm like, I got you. I just want to remind you that my love language is physical touch. Because you and I need to learn how to love well. Are you with me? And the problem here is that if we don't love well, there is an issue. There is an actual issue. If I don't love well, I might be sending you the message, I don't care about you. Now, you don't say it. You might not even mean it, but you're still communicating it. And if someone else is receiving it, it's valid. How important it is for you and me to learn how to love well. Now, I want to tell you that in our relationship with God is exactly the same thing. I want you to analyze for just one second. after knowing your love languages, I want you to analyze for a second. What is the message that you send with your actions to heaven? Maybe you and I with our actions are telling God, you know what? I don't care about you. God, I don't care about you. I know it sounds horrible. I get you. But that doesn't mean that we're not doing it. Because it makes us feel bad just to think about it doesn't mean that we're not doing it. Come on, are you here today? The way we are communicating is everything. God, I don't care about you. Whoo, that's rough. Maybe you don't mean it. Maybe you're not saying it. But maybe you are doing it. Now, how important is that we understand this? If God will have a love language, that means, how about if God has a love language and there is a way that you and I can love him the way he wants to be loved? Well, you know what? God does have a love language. And we see it in the Bible. You ready with me? Are you ready with me? You feel free to respond, okay? Just checking if you're alive here. Okay, good. And you feel free to respond in the chat too. Let's read the Bible really quick. These two verses, they give us the key. John 14:15. You have it on screens. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, says Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. They're having a conversation. This is the same verse that God is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're having that conversation. The disciples ask him, show us God. And God, Jesus goes like, you don't understand? Like, I'm the image of God. You know, I am God. I am love. And then he gets to this point right before Jesus is going to give the promise of the Holy Spirit. He comes and says to his disciples, hey, listen, guys, if you love me, follow my commandments. And then the following verse, 1 John 5:3 says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The love language of God is called obedience. When you and I are obedient, we find ourselves in the position of loving God the way he wants to be loved. And you, if you're going to love someone, you and I need to learn to love well. How do you love God well? How do you tell God, I care about you? It's not just showing up to church. It's not only giving your tithes and your offerings. It's not just lifting up your hands and worship to your favorite song. No, it goes beyond that. It is understanding that the heart of it all is obedience. I am doing this because of who he is. Yes, today we are going to speak about obedience. Not your favorite topic, maybe. But you and I need to listen. You know why you and I need to listen? And I'm the first one to confront myself with this word. Because that's what the word of God needs to do in your life. It needs to put you against the reality. And I'm the first one to be confronted by it. And say, man, am I really loving well? Am I sending the message to God that I don't care about him? Or am I, with my actions, showing God how much I love him and how much I care for him? Now, I want you to understand that if we're going to talk about obedience, we need to take just a little step back to last week. We spoke about the love of God. And here is why. Because understanding God's love will always lead me to obedience. When you and I understand the love of God, it will lead us eventually to obedience. And the problem with some of us is that we ain't getting it yet. That we think that the love of God, we need to earn it. And that the love of God, we need to pay for it. And that the love of God is something that listen. The love of God is simply the love of God. He loves you, period. Period. He sent his son. He sent Jesus. He gave his only and forgotten son. John 3:16, we read it last week. We read it last week. Because he loved you, he gave to you. Because he cared for you, he gave to you. It's an action. The love of God is never about what you can do. The love of God is always of who He is and what He has done already in your life. When you get to this moment and you understand this truth in your life, obedience will be easier for us to navigate. Because we understand that we are loved no matter what. The moment you and I start restraining God's love, you're going to start restraining yourself. If I start putting boundaries to God's love, you're going to start putting boundaries to yourself. How can we be obedient to someone we don't love? Are you here right now? I ask you again for a moment. What are your actions saying to heaven today? I love this verse to just dig in a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 7. It describes love. I love it. It says love is patient and kind. We read this in every single wedding. Make sure when you get married, read it too. Love is patient and kind is the best. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endure all things. Whew. It's beautiful. That's the love of God. But love is more than words. Love our action. As we read this verse, I remember when I was a teenager, not too long ago. Don't be fooled by the camera. And I remember I was a teenager like everybody else. I got my car when I graduated. And I had a relationship with my parents. But I always had issues with obeying. Anybody say amen? Amen. Just put on the chat, please. Be with me. Don't leave me alone, please. I always had an issue with obeying. And I will always question, why? I'm waiting for that shot. I'm waiting for that shot. You're there? No, you're good. Why? I will always ask myself, why do I have to do this? Why are you telling me for my curfew? Why 11? Why not 12:30? Why? Why do I have to run errands before going to my friends all the time? Why can I drink coffee? No, I'm kidding. No, I never said that. Why? Why can I hang out with this group of friends? Why not her? She's pretty attractive. And my parents very patiently will always come to me. Hey, listen. Come on. In my case, my parents were believers. Maybe that's not your case today. And that's okay. But never forget, you have a heavenly Father that will do whatever it takes to speak to you when you need to hear. Okay? You're not alone. You're not alone. Maybe your parents are not believers, but you're not alone. Okay? God will use the right people in your circle to speak to you, just like parents will do. You got to believe that, okay? You're not alone. And I remember they're saying they will sit me down. La cantaleta. You already know what I'm saying. They will sit me down like, man, you know, but it is. But that, the Lord, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, come on, you know? God. And then I read these verses. And then I remind myself that God is love. And that my parents, they were trying to love me. They were trying to take care of me. And they would do these things that were so annoying. Okay? So annoying. But little by little, I understood their love. Come on, we got to learn to love well and to be loved well. And I want to grab this verse really quick. We're gonna scratch love by God. I want you to remind you this. God is patient and kind. God doesn't envy or boast. He's not arrogant or rude. He doesn't insist in your own ways. Oh, I don't know about that. No, He doesn't. Because you and I have free will. And God will always be patient with you. If not, we'll probably be roasted right now. He doesn't insist in His own way. It is not irritable. God is not resentful. Come on. God doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. But He rejoices with the truth. God bears all things. And He believes all things. And He hopes all things. And He endures all things. You are loved by God. When you understand that, in the deepest of your core, when you know that inside and you're like, I am loved by God and I'm in a journey, because I want to tell you right now, patience, it's a journey. Obedience, sorry, patience too. Be patient with me. Obedience is a journey, ladies and gents. For me, it was a journey with my parents. First, I will say no, and I will, every single time, I will complain all the time, all the time. But then I started growing up, and I understood that they meant it for my good. Now I have my own children, and I'm the one sitting down telling them. And now I'm the one that goes like, hey, guys, you know, you know, let's don't do that, you know. Please. It's for your own good. And with God, it's the same. Maybe you just started with God. Literally, maybe your journey with Jesus just began. Okay, it's like, what do you mean obedience? I am obedient to no one, you know. But you and I can get to the understanding that if we get God's love, we're going to get obedience. That if we feel loved by God and we understand that we're loved by God, obedience will just follow. Even if it's little by little, obedience will follow. Are you with me? Anybody grateful with God that He never gives up on us? Come on, God is a good God. Woo. Now, great question, is our obedience a product of what in our lives? Is obedience a product of convenience or conviction? Like, can we go back really quick to the, well, no, go back, the next slide. When you saw this, the big word, that's like, whoa, right? How about this, the next one? How about that? Which one do you like better? You like the big one better? I don't like the big one. It's okay. Put the big one, please. Big shot, okay. That's like, whoa. And the other one? You're like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? But can I tell you that it is the first is the same word. And the thing with obedience is not about size, it's about heart. Because if your heart is right, obedience will follow. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Don't get me wrong. It's a journey. Yes. You might be in the faith for years. I don't know. Maybe you believe for Jesus for 10 years, for 12 years. Well, I got news for you. You still need to continue remaining obedient. Things will come into your life. And I want you to analyze right now. I'm speaking to Christians that have been here forever. Okay? 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, whatever years you are. Let's be honest. I'm the first one to put myself out there. You and I are dealing with disobedience. There are areas in our lives that are just not right, that we need to come forward and say, I need to fix this. When you understand God's love, that's great. But you need to understand and acknowledge that God doesn't want you to stay there. That there's so much in disobedience that blocks the blessing of God in your life. God loves you the way you are. Of course He does. But He wants you to live your life to the fullest. He wants you to be obedient because He knows how important it is. Because He knows that He feels love like that. Think about it for a second. What are the areas in your life today, that you need to surrender to God? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 33 and 38, and He said to him, this is Jesus speaking, after someone asked Him, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? He said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Like, love God with everything. And then He says, this is the great and first commandment. That's a statement. One more time, letting you and I know that our obedience is God's love language. How do we go from God, I don't care about you, to God, I care about you? By being obedient. What is God asking you today? Just stop there for a moment and let that question sink in the deepest of your heart. What is God asking of you today? Obedience equals trust. Would you agree with me? Obedience equals trust. So let me switch the question. What is God asking you to trust him with today? Because I know obedience sounds like, oh, still doesn't change the meaning. Okay, let's put trust to it. Okay, what is God asking you to trust with him today? A relationship maybe? A business? An idea? Something that you're doing that you know it's hindering you and it's hurting you. Maybe you're doing things not the right way and God is saying, would you just trust me? Because this journey that you and I live about, like loving God and being loved by God and the revolution, it gets nasty. You get dirty. You get bloody. You get sweaty. Because real love and loving well is sacrificial. You and I see Jesus, which by the way is the perfect model for what we're talking today, because he knew the love language of the Father. He knew John 3:16, so he said, I'll go. Come on, Jesus showed love by being obedient to come to earth, to show you and me how to get it done, how to love God. Obedience equals trust. Obedience might not be the easiest way, but it will always be the best way. Obedience will never produce regret. Like my friend in a movie said, regret. Okay? If you know what I'm saying. No regrets. Okay? Obedience will never produce regret. Yet disobedience will always birth it. Disobedience is the easiest way every single time. Every time. Disobedience sounds better, looks better, tastes better, but at the end, you will always regret it. Oh, but obedience, which is the hardest way, but it will always be the best way, will never produce regret in your life. Are you trusting God today? Are you being obedient to God today? I want to ask you that question. What are the areas that you know God is asking you to trust him today? I want to ask you, close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to get to your heart right now. Be conscious. Be aware. You are here right now in this moment. Can you come before God and just present these areas today? You know which ones they are. Can you come before your Lord that is listening, that loves you with crazy love, with supernatural love, with never-ending love? Can you bring those things that maybe bring shame to you today? Can you bring them to God? God will never be ashamed of you. Never. Because whatever you do, whatever I do, does not change God. God never changes. There's no variation in him. And just grab those things and just drop them at his feet today. And just let them go. And say, God, I recognize these things. I know these things are hurting me. But they're hurting me because they hurt your heart. Because they're making me be a disobedient child. And I know that sounds like, what are you talking about, man? This is not like the house. My parents were talking about, listen, God's love language is obedient. He wants you on that road. He really does. Not because, oh, he doesn't want to punish me, or, oh, he wants to, no, because he loves you. Because he loves you. We read at the beginning in 1 John 5 that his commandments become no burden. As you go and you keep learning of God, you will find yourself that more organically, okay, you will choose obedience over disobedience. Never forget, you and I, for the rest of our days, will always have a choice. I hope it's not a choice for you, but if it is, always choose obeying. For whatever reason, guys, listen, for whatever reason, even because what you're getting out of it, it doesn't matter. Start obeying and you will see the difference in your life. Amen. Close your eyes. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I know you're speaking to us right there at home. You're speaking to us and you have brought truth and light into our hearts. So today we choose to be obedient. We choose to understand your love and we choose to love you well. I don't want my actions to say, God, I don't care about you. I want my actions to scream every day, I care about God. I care about you because I love you and I am thankful with you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Come on, can someone praise Jesus today? And before we leave, we want you to have an opportunity to experience the love of God. Yes. You know, remember what we read in Corinthians? All those beautiful things that describe love. You and I have the opportunity to live in that love. How do you do that? How do you receive the love of God? You can earn it. You can win it. It's not a raffle. No, it is a choice. When you choose Jesus, you are choosing love. You are choosing God. How do I do that? You might be asking yourself, how do I choose the love of God in my life? Well, the Bible says that when you understand and confess and believe who Jesus is, again, Jesus, the Son of God, when you understand that he came, John 3:16, and died for you, he died for your sins, he put himself first to die so that you wouldn't have to, so that you would have a choice today to say, I choose Jesus. And by doing so, you choose love. So today, let me do the honors to lead you in that prayer, to give your heart to Jesus and to receive his love. And right there, at this moment, I want you to repeat these words. And maybe if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've been far away from Jesus, come on, there's never a dull moment. There's never a bad moment. Come close to your Savior one more time. Your Lord is calling you home again. We're going to say these words to Jesus. Say them out loud. Say, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Today, I open my heart. I open my life, my past, my present, and my future. Today, I choose to believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior. God, thank you for loving me with all you are. I give you my life. Take it. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Be sure to visit us at forabetterlife.org, where you can get connected, plan a visit to any one of our services, send us any prayer requests you may have, or take your next step in your spiritual walk. If you've decided to give your life to Jesus today, congratulations, we're so excited for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us and connect at forabetterlife.org.